Springfield, Wisconsin. Professor Howell grew up in Fall River and Westport. His Westport life in his early years was in a cottage on the west part of Horseneck Beach. I want to know about the cottage, where it stood and what happened to it.
Well, first tell me what your plan is for this interview. What is your...
My plan is to... My theme is actually you, what Westport was like in your growing up period, and then I want to move from that to your association with Franklin Roosevelt.
All right.
And your father's association. First about the cottage, where it stood and what happened.
Well, it stood almost due north of the Spindle. We could always tell just by looking at it. And it's roughly due south of Fripp's Boatyard on the other side of the tombola that forms the beach out there. It's half a mile down from the end of the main road where the Baker's Beach is now, mm-hmm. the end of the State Beach, and just half a mile from the end of the beach where the river comes out. So we were midway.
Hartley, was the road that went down to your cottage behind the house?
There wasn't any road.
There wasn't any road.
Well into the 20s. You had to walk the beach to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It was high tide. That was pretty tough luck.
Yes. I've been reading these records of town meetings, and they spent more, you know, even years trying to decide whether to put a road up East Beach, whether to put a road behind West Beach, etc., etc. It just, I mean, there was more complication over that. Well, there were complicated details over every aspect
right.
of the planning of Westport's traffic system. But about the cottage, were there many others who lived down there when you did?
Well, there were originally three cottages when we first went there. They were all, we were told, cranberry pickers' cottages. There was a bog and the dunes behind them. There's still a few plants left, largely overgrown. And why they were to build a cottage there just for the 2 weeks that they picked the cranberries, I don't know, but that was...
That's amazing.
That doesn't seem very likely as I think back about it, but I accepted it as a child.
Yeah.
These were cranberry pickers' houses. They must have been built sometime in the latter part of the 19th century. When, I don't know. I'd say 1870, 1880, sometime in there.
How near was your house to the water?
Well, it had originally been fairly close, but the beach had built out there until there was perhaps 75 feet between us and the edge of the dunes, the bank, and perhaps 25 feet more from 25 or 50 feet from there to high tide, because mm-hmm. it built out more and more every year.
Yeah. That's very strange, because every year now it gets less and less, do you know?
Well, the high tide line now is somewhere behind where the cottage was.
Yeah.
It must have cut in at least 150 to 200 feet at
yeah.
that point. I don't know why it's scoured so, but it has ever since the hurricane,
yeah.
more or less.
Yeah. I wondered if they had something to do with it. I want to know about how you lived. When you say that there wasn't a road when you first went there, and it was awfully hard to get supplies, how did you get supplies?
Well, Charlie Hammond had a horse and buggy. He was Hammond's store.
Where was Hammond's, excuse me, where was Hammond's store?
Hammond's store, well, originally it's where the independent grocer, what's his name, Fernandes, right there in the village. No, it's the same building.
Raposa?
Raposa, that's it. And then it moved across the street. I don't know what happened, but they moved across the street to what is now a private house. You can see it looks like a store. It was built out from the front of the house, right onto the sidewalk,
yeah.
to meet the sidewalk, so it could be a store. And then they gave up having such a big grocery business. There was always the post office.
What are their... places of business. Can you remember any others?
Well, the other store was Gifford's, which was across the street and burned down. It was just north of the store building now, but on the west side of Main to the east side.
Yeah.
And they were great rivals. I don't think I was ever in Gifford's store in my life. If you went to Hammond's store, you'd...
There you went to Hammond's.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? And was it in Hammond's where the post office was?
Yeah, it was an interesting store. It was divided into mail into mixed sections.
Oh, really?
In my childhood, the south half of it, I can remember, was fitted up with benches and big chromo lithographs, ocean liners, and the New York Four River line steamers and so forth, lots of spittoons, and all the men of the village, not all of them obviously, but the ones that didn't have anything better to do sat around in there chewing tobacco. And I suspected at some point there must have been a liquor department, but I have no recollection of it. And Westport was a dry town, I think. The other half.
You mean after the rum running?
Oh, this is long before that. Yes. This is long before Prohibition.
Is this it?
This was 1915, 16.
This is one of the things I wanted to know was, when did you go to Washington Heights? When did your family go?
1910 or 11, the year before I was born. 1910, I guess it was.
My father, how do you think they happened?
Well, my father had been told he only had about 6 months to live, and they sort of looked around for a quiet place to for him to die in, I suppose, or at least to be as healthy as he could, and so they came down there. My mother had grown up in Fall River, so they'd always known about Westport. They were there.
Yeah.
And they looked around and found this cottage out there. And at that time it belonged to, I think, a man named Sheldon, who lived on the main road. His house is still there. It's the house that Dr. Hadfield had.
Yeah.
And he owned the whole point there, and he lost it in some kind of mortgage foreclosure or something. It was a great disappointment. There was some feeling that he'd been done out of it. I don't know why.
And when you say point,
he promised to sell a big chunk of land to my family, but he never did because he lost all the land before he could sell it.
Oh, well, now when you say point, you mean Westport Point?
Oh, sure. The point.
That seems amazing and almost unbelievable to me, but I do believe you. I wanted to know about little practical matters, which we're all concerned with. Like today, it's almost at the point where there's water everywhere, but not a drop to drink, you know, for so many people. I mean, the town pump is just busy all day long.
I'm pretty surprised. I can't understand why they need it, but
you can't
see them there every day lined up.
Well, the wells are going dry. This is a drought. And now, how did you get your water?
Well, we had a driven well, went down about, I don't know, not very far, 10 feet, 15 feet, something like that, right in the sand. And we had an unfailing supply of fresh, clear water. Never failed.
You had a pump in the house?
Hand pump, yeah. Everything.
A pipe that led to the hand pump, and which, how many rooms did you have pumps in?
Oh, just one. We only had one pump.
One pump, in the kitchen, I suppose.
In the kitchen, right.
And goodness gracious, that's something. A lead sink. How large was it?
Oh, I suppose it's 3 or 4 feet long. It's a big open sink. I guess everybody had them in those days.
Yes. And there was one here when we came in that room in the other
room. Sure, sure.
And I was so surprised. I had never seen a lead sink before.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow. I'd heard that when you wanted to take a bath, it was quite a problem if you weren't willing to just go in the ocean for it.
Well, you had to heat up the water on the stove and fill a tin tub. Well, not very extensively used.
Yes. No. Now, what did you heat the water with?
We had a kerosene stove. All kerosene had to be carried out. 5 gallon cans at a time. Everything was heated and lighted.
How did you have to go every week or 2 weeks? Or?
Oh, maybe it lasted 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So that really, you were very careful about how much
cooking
you did, even.
Oh, I suppose we were. I never thought about it in those days. Mm-hmm. Of course, when Charlie gave up the horse, it became harder for him. He got a Ford truck, and then he could only come out at low tide.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Horse could come out any time.
Yeah.
Truck could only come out a little tired. He came out, I suppose, every couple of weeks. I don't know. The rest of the time he had to walk in and get what he wanted. Ran out of anything in between. He stocked up on canned goods in the beginning of the summer. He largely made out of cans.
That's very interesting. When here you think of all this land and all these farms here that because of your location, you had to have a different kind of life.
There weren't many places you could buy vegetables anyway in those days.
The farmers weren't raising vegetables.
Not very much, no. Perry started their little stand sometime in the 20s. That was Andrew Perry's grandmother that started that. And I can remember stopping there. I guess his father must have been a young man. But she was always the one who tended the stand. She was a woman in her 60s, I don't think, at that time. I can't remember his grandfather at all. He may have already died, but he was a hot woman.
From the whaling days?
I believe so. Either his grandfather or his great grandfather.
That's interesting. I didn't know they went back that far.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. But of course, there's so much I don't know. In a summer cottage, you didn't feel much like, although you lived in Fall River, feel much like using it very often in the winter, did you?
Well, no. For many, we only moved to Fall River after we'd been in the house for 15 years or so. Before that, we went around Fall River. No, we were in Washington.
I see.
No one here. Actually, we never went down very much. I can remember until the road was built, which is about the time we came to live in Fall River.
Yes.
Very close to that period.
Yeah. Well,
it was an extension of the Cherry and Webb Road that had already been built out to there. Those were two houses that they had built separately further down, nestled back in the dunes. They were not part of this. They were built after.
Well, who'd you play with?
Well, it wasn't anybody very much. There were very few other children around.
Did you swim a lot?
Oh, quite a little. Not swimming, really. Just surf bathing. It was too rough to swim.
I know. Of course it was.
But there were two Stevens boys, but they were my sister's age. They were pretty older than I am.
What'd you do?
Winston Stevens and Ned. And, read a lot. Walked the beach and collected firewood.
You used the firewood on cool summer evenings, I suppose.
Right. Well, we came there in late April and stayed until October. So.
So that you really did have some cold.
We were there practically 6 months a year. Partly because Washington was so hot. A long, hot summer.
Yes. Must have been wonderful. And when your father didn't feel well, this was a great.
Of course, after we moved to Washington, it was a long trip up here. We had to come up on the Federal.
Yeah.
Leave Washington at night, get off the Providence, crack dawn the next morning, come down to Fall River. A little train that ran directly from Providence to Fall River.
That's something I've been reading about, which is very interesting, and also about the railroad and all that went up to the mills here ahead of Westport, really quite early in Westport history.
You mean Westport Factory?
I mean Westport Factory.
Yeah, not
ahead.
Never came all the way down to head up.
No,
there was
I mean the factory.
Down to the factory there.
When the big wave, so to speak, which is what most people call the 1938 hurricane, came, what were you people all doing?
Well, my mother was in Fall River. She was the postmaster then. And my sister and her son, age 12, had just come back from Europe and were living in a cottage down there, and I was in New York. So that my sister...
Living?
Was,
studying?
Yeah,
working?
I was working in New York.
Were you married at that
no,
time?
No.
You were quite young. Do you know how old you were? No. Or maybe you don't want to disclose
idea.
That.
27. So we were scattered around. Mm-hmm. My sister was the only one actually living there.
Yeah.
She'd gone to Newport for the day with her son.
So none of you, although you lived actually on the beach, none of you were.
Nobody was in any of those houses just by chance on that day. Just sheer accident. Very fortunate because it was so remote and very difficult.
No one would have survived with that.
Well, the water got in behind there, the great hollow in the dunes. It would have cut off anyway. I think it tried to escape backwards over the dunes. I don't know. My sister was in Newport out on the Ocean Drive in a house on a rocky point with two elderly maiden cousins, and they were there all through the storm. And the height of it, as it began to get dark, the waves were coming in over the rocks against the foundations of the house, but fortunately they came no higher and subsided after that. They were cut off from the telephone. My mother had no idea where they were.
She probably thought they were home or something.
I think she knew that they had planned to go to Newport.
Oh, I see.
But she couldn't call Newport to find out if they were there. No. She heard radio reports that the water was coming up over the beach and everything, so she was greatly alarmed. She called me in New York. Well, I thought it was just a rainy day.
That's interesting. When your family were there, having a peaceful, lovely summer, I gather, in Westport, Horseback Beach.
It's great for the grown-ups.
Yes, that's what I wanted to ask. Did they entertain a good deal?
Oh, no, nobody ever came out there.
Oh, really?
They'd walk half a mile.
But they just loved it anyway.
Oh, sure.
So that your parents were readers, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well,
very little company, I would think. I can't remember many. At least
all
before
this,
the road was built.
Yeah.
They had perhaps more visitors after that.
But still not too many. Well, when was it? All this is really leading up, in a way, to the fact that over a period of several summers, I believe, Franklin Roosevelt came to visit you.
Well, I can't tell you how many summers he was there. I would say perhaps he visited two or three times. He stayed once for a month or 6 weeks. I remember that. That was before the road was built. It must have been the summer before, because I remember they had to bring him out in a car at low tide and carry him up to the house.
Yeah. And his association with your father was exactly what?
Well, my father was sort of his, well, it's hard to put your finger on it. He'd been his assistant in the Navy Department when Roosevelt was assistant secretary. And then my father planned to go back into journalism at the end of the war when the Republicans came into office. These were political officers, of course. But that summer, Roosevelt, first, there was the campaign, which Roosevelt ran for the vice president at the time. He ran for vice president that year. Cox and Roosevelt, 1920. And my father spent the whole summer on the campaign train with Roosevelt. But he went up, in those days, everybody campaigned the train, and he went all over the United States by private car. And then, of course, they lost the election, as my father expected. And then the next summer, Roosevelt came ill, just as my father was planning what he was going to do next, and so my father stayed with him for the rest of his life.
Isn't it me? Here, your father, who wasn't going to live very long, kept living and living and living.
Yeah.
Isn't that, that's marvelous.
I never know why he was given such a gloomy forecast there.
No. His doctor was a Washington doctor.
Oh, I have no idea. See, I was an infant in arms.
Yes.
This is all hearsay.
Yes.
But he'd been in poor health. He was in poor health all his life, although he lived to be 64, 65, somewhere around.
Did he enjoy his poor health?
Well, not really, but he didn't bother him too much. He tried to live it.
Well, in a way, your father, Louis Howe.
Louis Howe. In spite of Arthur Schlesinger, who swears he had been told by Mrs. Roosevelt that it was Louis. It was not.
It was Louis.
It was Louis.
Yeah.
The S was never sounded.
Oh. So, well, anyhow, your father, Louis Howe, was one, certainly, if not the most prominent citizens we've ever had here, don't you think?
Well, I don't know very much about the prominent citizens of Westport, but certainly he brought Westport a good deal of attention.
Yes. Well, his role in
when Roosevelt was governor, of course, and running for the president, many... We had many, but you asked me about visitors. We had a good many visitors then because as the political lines were forming, a lot of people came down to talk to him quietly about what was going to happen next,
yes,
about the Democratic potential candidates. It's just like it is now this year. It was a fluid situation. There were a number of candidates, and very similar to 1975. Governor Ritchie, Al Smith was thinking of running again. There were a couple of others, and Alfalfa Bill Murray in Oklahoma, and Garner in Texas, and there was a lot of maneuvering back and forth, but as governor of New York, FDR had sort of an edge. He won in a year in which the Republicans had carried the presidency by a large majority. That was the year Al Smith won, 28 votes above. Reversed the situation as he practically one of the few Democratic governors elected then. He attracted a lot of attention.
So that meant
a lot
that
of visitors
to Westport, where you'd had a very quiet life,
more
people began to show up for a very obvious reason.
Yeah. And yeah, that continued right through the presidential campaign, of course, although my father wasn't there a great deal. The next summer, 1934, I think, was really able to come down for quite a while. There were a lot of long-distance telephone visitors, governors and things dropping in casually every now and then during that summer.
Yeah.
That was really the last summer he was able to.
Well, how long did he live after Roosevelt became president?
Not very long. It was about, he died in 1935. Equivalent year now, the year before the conventions. So he was there for 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that.
Well, I've read several, maybe at least two, accounts of his influence on Roosevelt. Apparently he was the mastermind behind a great deal of the New Deal.
Well, he was more interested in the achievement of the goals than in the formation of the goals, etc. In a general way. He was not a theoretician, he was very practical.
Oh, was he?
He was interested in how you got things done rather than the abstract theory of why you were doing it.
Was
or he was in general, as a liberal Democrat, he was a liberal in 1932 terms.
Yeah.
But he was not, you couldn't have called him, for example, a member of the so-called Brains Trust, which was so widely publicized at the time. In fact, he continually being baffled by the professors who proposed these programs and really had no idea at all how they would be achieved or the practical problems that were to be met.
Well, as you look back, I want to look forward a bit. Minute, but as you look back on your stay here, is there anything particular that stands out in your mind as a child?
Well, not really, except for the Roosevelt's visit, I guess
was the event.
Sure.
And what place did you, let's say, hold in that? Were you a little boy watching with eager eyes?
Well, I wouldn't say eager eyes, I just took it. But I was very much around.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I was about 2 years old.
So you were right there?
Well, I must have been older, maybe 11. So, 11, I guess.
It's amazing to me to think that you have a grandson. This is Eddie's
His achievement.
Yes. I'd like to add that only one thing, that I know a little about your family, and that your sister Mary's son designed a boat called the Sprite and other boats for the O'Day Company.
Yeah, right.
And that Tripp's Boatyard used to be quite full of Howell boats.
I don't know whether you ever had many Sprites or not. I never was down there very much in those days. I mean, that was about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, I know.
Whether there are a lot of Sprites down there, I'm not sure.
Well, I brought a friend of mine up from who's had a summer place in the St. Lawrence. She came down and bought a Sprite.
Really?
And
really, yeah.
Carried it home behind her car.
Yeah, great.
Then your sister Mary, I think of as a person who contributed a great deal to the artistic efforts of the community. Her work in painting.
Well, she was enthusiastic amateur painter, as my father was.
Oh, was he?
Oh, he had one of his principal recreations. He never did very much as he grew older. Didn't have time, but